Something for the weekend. Good morning. It is Trina Mari here and I'm delighted to have Dr. Rachel McLaughlin on the line now. Dr. Rachel McLaughlin is a professor in immunology at Trinity College. Good morning, Rachel. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Has it ever been a busier time for somebody working in immunology?
Yes. You know, suddenly words that never had heard of before on the tip of people's tongues, aren't they? Immunology, viral load, herd immunity. It's commonplace conversation now. So it is. It's a good time to be an immunologist. Very exciting time.
It's like you're celeb or something, isn't it, almost?
Well, I wouldn't quite go that far.
So tell me about this new campaign that you've launched.
So as you've alluded to there, you know, as a population, we've all seen firsthand the devastating impact that a viral pandemic can have. And of course, everyone is waiting patiently for a vaccine to protect us against COVID-19. But as parents, we have the power now to protect our children against so many other devastating infections through the childhood immunization schedule. So it's now more important than ever to keep vaccinating. And that was really the motivation behind this campaign. So as you said, I'm an immunologist and my research lab in Trinity College is focused on the development of new vaccines. So for me personally, the decision to take my own children to get vaccinated has always been very straightforward. But earlier this year, I found myself in the situation where I was due to take my youngest daughter, Avril, for her scheduled vaccination during the height of the restrictions. And even I had to stop and think, are these appointments going ahead? Is it okay to take her to the GP surgery at the moment? And that made me realize there's probably loads of parents around the country were asking those same questions. So that really was the motivation behind this campaign, to try to get that message out there that we need to keep vaccinating. Don't hesitate. Your baby's immunizations are vitally important and the appointments are all going ahead as normal. You should make sure that you keep those appointments.
Okay. Now, Baby Doc Club have been doing some research into this to find out what parents know when it comes to kids' vaccines. 60% actually of pregnant women and new mums felt informed about the childhood immunisation programme. 60%, I don't think it's that much. And 1 in 4 don't know what diseases our kids are being immunised against. I've got a 3-year-old, just one child, and I do remember on the fridge there was kind of like a timetable of the vaccine she needed to get, and you were always kind of aware how old was she. I think it goes up to 13 months, isn't it?
Exactly. So each child needs 5 visits to the GP surgery. They start at 2 months and they run until the children are 13 months. So that's the number the parents need to keep in their mind, 5 visits to be fully vaccinated. And the vast majority of people in this country are very pro-vaccination and are happy to take their children for their scheduled appointments. But the Baby Doc research pointed this out too, and also just on a personal level myself, just talking to other parents, I realized that most parents who took their children for their appointments didn't fully understand the importance of why they were doing it or didn't realize how many diseases these immunizations protect against and how deadly these diseases could potentially be. And so when it comes to immunization, it's really, really important that vaccine uptake rates are kept high. So to have what's known as herd immunity, we need to have enough people in the population take up the vaccines. And if we have that, that means that if a disease gets into the population, it can't circulate because the majority of people are protected against it. So the very vulnerable people who, for various reasons, can't get immunized, they stay protected. Mm-hmm. So if we take measles, for an example, you need to have vaccine uptake rates of about 95% for that to occur. And the latest data from Ireland in 2019, the MMR uptake rates were at 89%. So we're below where we need to be achieving this herd immunity. And a lot of this comes back to hesitancy on parents' parts. There's lots of complex reasons why people wouldn't take their children to get vaccinated. But what we didn't want to happen at the moment was for the immunization appointments to just get lost in the midst of this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Is the timing quite important when they get them done?
So it is important that you stick roughly to those times, but what's also very important to note is if you've missed any of those appointments, it's not a problem. You can catch up. So anyone who has missed an appointment, don't worry, just get in touch with your GP and they'll make arrangements for you to catch up with the immunization. It's ideally you do go at the scheduled times because that's when the immune system is ready to receive the vaccines. But if you have missed one, it's not a problem. You can catch up with the appointments.
Okay, so the ones, talk to me then about the ones that they get up until 13 months. What are we protecting against?
In this country, we're protected against 13 different infectious diseases through the childhood immunisation schedule. So I won't list out all 13 of them. But
no, we'll be here till next week.
So the MMR vaccination protects you against measles, mumps and rubella. We're very lucky now we have two vaccines to protect against two different strains of meningitis. So the first vaccine that was introduced to protect against meningitis was introduced in 2000. And then in 2016, a new vaccine was introduced which protects you against another type of the meningitis bacteria. So this is testament to the work that's been done in vaccine research and development. We're developing new vaccines all the time, and then countries are able to introduce these vaccines to their immunization schedules to provide further protection for our children.
Why is it then, do you think, some people don't get it done?
So there's a lot of very complex reasons, but one of the primary things I think that impacts a reduced uptake of vaccines is a hesitancy. And that hesitancy may come from the fact that people are getting maybe a little bit complacent. Because of the success that vaccines have had, diseases like measles, like meningitis, they maybe don't hold as much fear in parents' minds as they once did, you know, because we don't see those diseases circulating so much. Mm. So if you don't see the diseases, maybe you're not as worried about their existence, and then you become a little bit more complacent about the need for the immunisation. I think that is a huge part to play on it.
Because what can happen when you get the measles?
So measles is a devastating disease. And before we had a vaccine in this country, we used to have about 5,000 cases a year, which is a staggering number. And then the vaccine reduced those rates dramatically. Babies can get very sick if they get the measles. They can have long-term consequences of measles, include blindness and severe neurological disorder. So it's definitely something that we don't want to be dealing with. And, you know, now more so than ever, with COVID circulating, we don't want to be dealing with other complex infections, because when we think about coronavirus, it's a new virus. We don't know what impact COVID-19 might have on another infection.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to protect yourself against the ones that at the moment we can protect against.
Yeah, I mean, the whole world, you're looking for a vaccine for COVID, and yet we have these other vaccines readily available. It's mad to think that some people aren't availing of them, really.
Exactly, and that sums it up. I mean, we have them readily available, they're free. For me as a parent, every parent has their child's best interest at heart, that's for sure. But for me as a parent, it's pretty simple. You know, I will take what I can get to protect my children because they're readily available. There are certain things we can't protect our children against yet with vaccines, COVID mm-hmm. being one of those. So we have to wait until that becomes available. But it makes sense to do what you can now.
Can I just ask you about the chickenpox vaccine? My little one had chickenpox when she was in creche, of course. I think she was about a year old when she got it, and passed it on to her daddy, would you believe? Because he couldn't remember whether he had it as a child or not.
Sure.
And yeah, of course, he ended up 3 weeks with it. But there is a vaccine. I didn't realise there actually is a vaccine you can pay for.
There is. There is a chickenpox vaccine. It's not part of the immunisation schedule, which means it's not provided free to every child, but it is available. If you're interested in it, you can ask your GP about getting access to the chickenpox vaccine. There is a cost associated with that, and there are two immunizations required to be fully protected against the chickenpox. Mm-hmm. So we have a national immunization committee who makes the decisions on what vaccines get included in the immunization schedule, and they make those decisions based on the data that's available in terms of the levels of the disease that are circulating and the severity of the disease, et cetera, et cetera. And so new vaccines are added all the time. And in the future, we hope more and more will be added.
Yeah.
But yes, we do have a chickenpox vaccine, but you have to pay for that at the moment.
Of course. And can I just ask as well, is it dangerous to get chickenpox? Because we all kind of had it. I remember having it. I do have a couple of little holes in my ear as a result of scratching. Yeah. But is it dangerous for a child to get?
Yeah, so this is, I think people have this idea, you know, the chickenpox is just a rite of passage, you just have to get it.
You hear parents sending kids to chickenpox parties.
Well, the vast majority of children, you know, chickenpox won't be too severe an illness. Now, it can be very nasty, and children can get quite unwell with it at very high temperatures. Obviously, they have to be out of school and out of creche for a significant period if they have the chickenpox. But like all viruses, some children can get more badly affected than others. And, you know, it is a viral infection and it can be quite serious. And the other thing about these viruses we need to remember is that if you're carrying the chickenpox virus, while it might not be making you too sick, you don't know if you might come in contact with someone more vulnerable and you can pass the virus on to them. So that's the other thing. And we're hearing that about COVID all of the time now. Mm. You can't just think about yourself when it comes to these viral diseases. You know, people who carry COVID might not be that unwell themselves, but they don't know who they're going to come in contact with, and then they can pass it on to someone who's much more vulnerable.
Can you get over the rave that happened in Dublin at the complex? Just what are people thinking?
It's incredible. Yeah. And it comes back to this point. We can't be selfish. We're not just doing this for ourselves. You know, people have to stop thinking that COVID is, oh, it's not going to affect me or it's not going to make me very sick. Mm. You don't know who you're going to come in contact with. You don't know the background of the individuals you come in contact with. And the more people you interact with, the greater risk you're creating for society as a whole. So it's incredibly selfish behaviour.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. And I was really surprised. I was watching Claire Byrne live there the other night, and there was journalist Niamh Horan was on, and she said that actually it's elderly people who are very selfish for not cocooning and not allowing young people to get on with their lives and have parties and all this. I couldn't believe what I was watching. So elderly people, you're the selfish ones. Unbelievable. Are we any closer, do you think, to getting a vaccine for COVID?
So what's happening with the COVID-19 vaccine has just been phenomenal. I mean, we need to remember, 9 months ago, we knew nothing about this virus. And in the space of that time, we've gone from knowing virtually nothing about a virus to having 9 vaccine candidates in phase 3 clinical trials. Mm. So we have to be patient. Everybody wants to know, when is the vaccine going to be available? And unfortunately, nobody has the answer to that, because we have to wait for the data that's coming out of these trials. So there's no point in us just having a vaccine. We need a safe and effective vaccine. And only the data from the clinical trials will indicate when that's ready to be available. Mm. But the fact that we have already 9 at phase 3 in clinical trial, which is very close to the end of the clinical trial process, is very encouraging. So, you know, the hope is that, yes, next year we will see one of those at least vaccines come on stream.
Oh, next year though?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, we're already in September, aren't we?
I know. It just feels like we're in March. And then how long does a clinical trial take? And where do they even find the people to take part?
Yeah, so it depends very much on... Typically, the vaccine development process takes maybe about at least 5 years. So this has been fast-tracked because of the global effort that's behind this. And all countries have kind of come together to focus on the fact that we need to fast track these vaccines. And there's lots of different, like the World Health Organization, for example, they're looking closely at the data that's coming out of these trials so that they're ready to make a decision as soon as they have sufficient data to suggest the effectiveness and safety. They will get ready to approve these vaccines. But the reason we've been able to move so fast, aside from the global coordinated effort, is that, you know, years of research has gone into studying how viruses interact with our immune system and how to develop strategies for immunization or developing new vaccines. And so when COVID or when coronavirus exploded earlier this year, that knowledge was able to be applied to coronavirus. So the knowledge was there because of years and years of research that's been done. And then we were able to apply it to the coronavirus. And that's why it's so important, the basic research into vaccine development and into infectious disease research is supported.
Something tells me that immunologists have never been more supported than they will be from now on anyway. Everyone's interested in what you do for a living, I guess, aren't they? And we're going to ditch Jennifer Aniston if she wants to come on the show. We'll ditch her for Dr. Rachel McLaughlin instead in future.
Well, I'll ask your listeners to at least go and view the videos that we made as part of this campaign. They're available on the TCD YouTube channel.
Okay.
And hopefully they'll help to get our message across to keep vaccinating.
Okay, you're very good for taking the time. I know it's an incredibly busy time for you. Dr. Rachel McLaughlin, Professor in Immunology at Trinity, thanks so much for taking our call today.
Thanks very much.
This is Something for the Weekend. It's Classic Hits.